We're in the middle of a kind of a series a little bit here about the mind of Christ. That's what the Lord laid on my heart, and how important it is to understand, I guess, the things of God and how all that works. Our mind is very important, as we probably all know, just how we have to really guard it, because, you know, we struggle, each and every one of us sometimes, with wrong thinking because we think wrong. See, the world teaches us to think a certain way and to worry about certain things, but yet in God's Word, it tells us to trust and tells us to love. You know, so it's a different dynamic, and so we have to learn the difference. And due to the environment that you and I live in, you know, we're susceptible, each and every one of us, to the negative input from the world system. A little staticky here, ain't we? Anyway, so we're susceptible to the negative input from the world system, and what goes in comes out. And so the devil tries hard to keep us in the dark about the things of God. Now, he's always trying to set up a barrier in our life to keep us away, you know, from God, and tries to hold us back. Once, you know, he loses us to God's kingdom, he just doesn't quit and give up. Then he tries to put certain traps or scandalons, the Bible says in the Greek, in front of us to try to hold us back, to keep away from, you know, so we don't learn everything that we need to know. And so it's hard to think like Jesus if you and I constantly allow ourselves to be influenced by the world. So that's why we need to thank God for the Holy Ghost, and that's what we're going to talk about today, how important the Holy Spirit, because he's going to help us to get into the right mindset. I mean, the Holy Spirit is what sets Christianity apart from each and every religion. All the religions have books, for the most part. They all have information by which to live their life by. But one thing about Christianity is that we have the Holy Spirit, which helps us to give us the power to live out what it is God says that we need to do. And then we can start to walk in that victory. And so we're excited about that. Remember last week we started this off in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. And it says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." So we looked at that from the angle of that we have the mind of Christ. God says we have the mind of Christ, but the problem is we don't think like we have the mind of Christ, so we got to change that. And that's what we're going to go in a little bit farther today on, how we can start to trust the Holy Spirit. And that's where we're going to kick off today. We're going to go up in 1 Corinthians 2, just a few more verses, and we'll read verses 10 to 13. It says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit to be here today, to lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you that he is the ultimate teacher. And we thank you, we just open ourselves up right now to everything that the Holy Spirit has. We take authority over any disturbance, any distraction, anything that tries to take away from your word, Lord, any daydreaming, anything, Lord. And Lord, we just focus right now on you. We thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate till I leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. So that passage there, and I encourage you to read it on your own. I don't know what's going on here with this. We'll have to get her fixed. I got another one. I just need to implement it. But, No, didn't do it. I thought maybe I was shaking too much, you know. But, you know, God talks about revealing things to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not sure, you know, we're all maybe at different places in our walk with the Lord right now, correct? You know, some of us, you know, are in one place, others may be in another place. But whatever the case may be, we need to get to the place where we start to understand who the Holy Spirit is, what His ministry is, and also how He can help us. Help us in our walk down here. Because we all, how many need help? I know I need help. You know, and so unless we learn how to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss out on some things that God has for us. Because here it talks about how God reveals things through the Holy Spirit, because we know that He is the teacher. It talks about a lot about Him in the book of John. A good spot that talks about when Jesus was leaving, everybody's all bummed out, like everybody, we would be bummed out too, right? What, you're leaving? But He says, yeah, it's better if I leave. Yeah, right. But then He says, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to send you a comforter. Somebody that can be in each and every one of you at the same time. Well, yeah, that's better. Because Jesus, when He took on His earthly body, was only in one place at one time. But see, when He sent the Holy Spirit after He left, well, now the Holy Spirit can be in each and every believer at the same time all around the world. Don't try to figure that out. You just have to accept it by faith. How many know if you try to unravel too many things, you're going to short-circuit your brain? Most of what we have to get in the kingdom of God, we have to take it on the basis of faith and just trust God. And that's how we'll get to the next place. Now, many of you, I think everybody here has at least been in school, right? Now, how many can remember your favorite teacher? A teacher that could just communicate, that could really get through to you, and you really understood, you know, what they were saying. Well, I can probably think of somebody, right? I can also think of some teachers I didn't care for, that I couldn't understand. I'm not just talking algebra here. I'm talking the fact that they just couldn't communicate. I had one teacher one time that all they talked about was sports the whole time. Never taught any science. And then my mind, I have a photographic memory to some degree. And so if you lecture and tell me, I got it. But I didn't get it. And I struggled with that teacher. And what was amazing, students that were way down the line in understanding grade level, or I mean, not grade levels, but they, I mean, I was getting A's, B's, and they were getting D's. Well, all of a sudden, their grades went up. They could understand that guy, but I could not get nothing out of him. And so, but I can also remember different teachers in my life, you know, going through school. My fourth grade teacher was cool. My third grade teacher, you know, middle school was a little dicey there. You know, sometimes, you know, the sixth, seventh, and eighth, I mean, I was going through transition in my life, and maybe I didn't really, you know, connect as well. And I can remember even in high school some teachers that I liked, but I'll tell you, the ones that I really connected with was the ones that taught the Bible. They're the ones that I really could hook up with because I was hungry. And the way they explained things, I would just grab it. And see, the difference was the fact that the Holy Spirit was involved in this equation. It wasn't just them rambling off information of what I need to know. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit was living inside of me as well as living inside of them. And there was that connect point. And then the Holy Spirit was revealing to me things. And see, that's what I hope is taking place today. Is that the same Holy Spirit is here today. The same Holy Spirit that lives inside of me lives inside of you if you're a Christian today. Now, if you're not a Christian, now that's a different story. And we can fix that. You know, you just need to surrender your life to Christ. But primarily, that's what the exciting part is about Christianity. You know, God gives us all the same spirit. There's not different spirits that he gives us. No, it's one spirit. Remember, we have God the Father, we have God the Son, then we have God the Holy Ghost, right? They're all one God. And we looked at that last week, remember? 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 in the world, but 1 + 1 + 1 is 1 in the kingdom of God. 3 different distinct persons, shall we say, but they all just make up one God. The mind of Christ helps us understand that. If not, we just try to cipher it out in our natural thinking and see it's all confusing. So that's why we need to understand, you know, what it is God's doing. See, you know, because what's happening here is that things that were previously hidden from us now are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've read the Bible, the whole Bible, cover to cover, you know that people in the Old Testament longed, they yearned for what you and I have today. They did. And we just stepped into this thing. We were born at such a time as this, in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit when he's here on this earth ministering right now. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would just come upon people, just a little bit here, a little bit there, and they would do things, and then he would leave them. But us, no, he's not going to leave. He's with us. Now, what we need to do, and we're going to look at this, is we're going to have to learn how to build some sort of sensitivity. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say I feel the Holy Spirit all the time, because that could put you in a box where you just try to unpack that thing and you say, man, I feel nothing, so I must not have it. No, that's not how it works. But when you need it, he's there. But there's things that you and I can do, like the old saying is prime the pump. Remember, I've explained that before. We used to have an old pump, you know, out on the farm, right by the cattle lot. Wasn't the best place for a cattle lot, right next to the well. Not going to lie to you. You know, all that stuff. You know how many of those stuff goes down? You know, all that manure and everything when it dissolves. But anyway, I'm still here, I guess. So, but anyway, this old pump we had, it was getting old, and they got these little things in them called the withers, as if I got it correct. And them withers would dry out in a few days. And so you could pump and pump and pump and pump and pump, and nothing would come out. So that's why, in our experience, we always left a little jug there that had a little bit of water in it. And you take that little bit of water and you dump it down the hole at the top, and the withers, which was made out of leather, would kind of soak up. Then all of a sudden they would grab again, and then when you started pumping, out came the water. And so there's things that you and I can do in our walk with God to prime the pump, to be able to get that flow going. Because everybody, we need the flow. We need the flow. I mean, I'm deeply concerned. If I'm in this church as a leader of this church, if I'm not seeing the Holy Spirit or sensing the Holy Spirit doing some things in our services, I get gravely concerned. Then I start to check. You know, one of the things I fixed, I was preaching too long. At the end of our service is when we sing our song, and then, you know, different people will pray in the service. It's a real nice move, the Holy Spirit. Well, when I was going through that series, roaming through Romans, there was so much information I felt I had to cover because I didn't want to be on it till I, you know, till the end of time. So I would preach an extra 10 minutes or better. You know, so I was preaching over 50, 55 minutes. That's all fine and dandy. Only a couple of you went to sleep. I mean, I felt pretty confident. But when it come to the end of the service, for the time of the Spirit, I noticed that it wasn't happening. Because whether you want to accept it or not, we have a mental thing in our mind that when it gets to a certain time, when we're used to getting out of here, if we get past that, sometimes we disengage. We disengage from the service. You know what I'm saying? And so when we disengage, well then, the Holy Spirit, you know, it kind of quenches him a little bit. So that was my fault. That was my fault. So God revealed that to me, and hence we got the shot clock up there now. And I've just blew through 5 extra minutes I didn't really mean to talk about, so now we'll see what happens. But, so I got locked myself on a 40-minute clock, and I know to shut down. We got communion today, so I'm going to try to make it a little shorter even. Because I long that the goal of what we do at the end of service is to try to give people an opportunity to hear from God and then an opportunity to pray if they want. Because the Bible says when we come together, we all have something to say, right? But no, we can't all say something, you know, at the same time. But that's an opportunity where if you want, don't have to force it. We're not, you know, just doing it just to do it. We're doing it because I really feel what the Holy Spirit can do when different people in the congregation pray from their heart. I really sense that God is really doing something magnificent in our church. And so that's important to me. Because it's not just about coming to hear me, whoever preaches here, but we want to flow with the Holy Spirit, whichever direction he may go. And that's one of the, not to be all Star Trek-y, but that's one of the prime directives of our church. Hence the name, River Life. River Life is a symbol of the Spirit, the river of the Spirit. And so River Life, Family Worship Center, so River Life is really Spirit Life. It's code. You know what I'm saying? We want to have code just so people know that this is Spirit Life. That's what we're about. We're about the Spirit of God being able to do things in our congregation, touch lives, change lives. You know, it's not nothing, you know, I've tried to convince people till I'm blue in the face, and it doesn't work. But I'll tell you what, when the Holy Ghost shows up, whew, split second, bam, it's over. That's what he can do. So that's why we do. And so in saying that, I want to get us to the point where, you know, stay with us through the whole service. And when we sing that closing song, it's a time to really focus on what God can do in our life and let the Holy Spirit really start to move in our hearts. I mean, we're not manufacturing something. I'm just wanting to be a conduit here. You know what a conduit is? It just carries the flow. Like a plumbing pipe. You know, the plumbing pipe, you know, has to have something in it flowing. So you and I have to have something in us flowing, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so the altars is open at the end of service. If you feel like you want to come up, and then, you know, what blesses me is sometimes people come up. Sometimes it's just them and the Holy Ghost. Sometimes there's people in the congregation feel led of God to come up and lay their hands on them and pray with them. But in saying that, I want you to be sensitive to the Spirit. You know, unless you really feel that the Holy Spirit's leading you to come up and pray with them, well, don't do it. Don't take this personally, but you're getting in the way. If God didn't tell you to come up and pray with them, well, then just pray from your seat. Amen? Because what happens, and we've learned this, sometimes it's like a ground rod. You know, God's doing something big time in somebody's heart, and then we touch them, and then it just breaks the flow of God's Spirit. I don't know how it works. I've just watched it. I've been at this for a long time. Those are just little bits and things that I've picked up over the years. And so we want to make sure that we're open to that. Are we going to miss it? Yes. Are we going to make mistakes? Oh, yeah. But we're going to learn, aren't we? That's the key. Try to learn. So let's get back to our previous content. Amen. That was just a little side deal. So what interests me or makes me excited is I alluded to this a little bit is the fact that, you know, each and every person here has that same teacher. Like I said, I had a favorite teacher. My favorite teacher may not be your favorite teacher, but we all have the same teacher when it comes to the things of God. And that means that each and every person, each and every Christian has the same opportunity, right? Because we all have the same Spirit. Now, what the difference is sometimes some people pay attention, some don't. Boom, drop the mic, right? Sometimes we pay attention to the things of the Spirit. I mean, I got next week's sermon today about 2:30 in the morning. Yay. Woke me up. You know, that's when the Holy Spirit was talking. And I think I remember all of it. I wrote it down. I've learned that deal a long time ago. Is I, you know, I jotted some thoughts down about what I want to do. And then we'll get back to it starting tomorrow. But so we all have the same teacher. And you and I need to get to the place in our walk with God that we're ever mindful of the ever-present one. We need to be ever mindful of the ever-present one. That means our mind has to be on the one who lives inside us, the Holy Spirit. We have to acknowledge his existence. We need to acknowledge his ministry. We thank him for his leading and guiding. You know, now, like I said, not all the time do we feel him. Like I said, priming the pump, you can do it. You can get into the word. You can start praying a little bit. You can plug on some worship music. Like I've said, you know, we live in a time where there's not a whole lot of excuses, people. When I started out in this, we had cassette tapes. You know what I'm saying? And the day of the cassette, you know, you couldn't just, with a flip of your finger, find a worship song you wanted to sing right now. Now with YouTube, you can just hit a button, boom, you're right there. And you can turn on a worship song and start to worship God at home in your quiet time. You know, and then you can, that's a pump primer right there. That'll help. That's why we sing songs. Did you know we don't sing songs just to play patty cake? No. We sing songs because God inhabits the praises of his people. Hello. So that's why we do that. So that's some things we can do. So there's just a lot of different things you and I can do to get to the place. Like I said, don't beat yourself up. You're not going to, you know, hear from God like that all the time, but just be sensitive to the inner witness of what he's going to speak to you. Because believe me, God wants to communicate. God doesn't want us to miss it. You know, some people think God's up there playing hide and seek, you know what I'm saying? And he's always hiding from us. No, God's not playing hide and seek. You know, the problem is that we don't have the mind of Christ. We've been so ingrained by the things of this world that we look at things wrong. We misinterpret information sometimes. So that's why we're trying to get this kind of straightened out in our life. And by doing that, what happens is the fact is that you and I start to develop what I call a spiritual sensitivity. We all need spiritual sensitivity. You know, the cults do it. You know, the tarot cards readers and all these different things, they get into that stuff and, you know, they're listening to the Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a spirit of darkness, the God of this world, leading people astray. So in order to get this spiritual sensitivity that you and I need to do is the fact that we need to be able to do two things. Well, there's more, but two major things I'm looking at right now. We need to be able to tune in. And we need to be able to tune out. Okay? You need to be able to tune in, and you need to be able to tune out. So we need to be able to tune in to the things of God, and then to cut to the chase, you need to be able to tune out the things of this world. Because they're chattering after you all the time, right? They're chattering after you. You know, like a radio signal. Now, I don't know what your car's like, but if I'm heading to Ottumwa, got some hills down there, right? And if I'm listening to the Christian radio station out of Des Moines, there's a certain spot down there where the signal starts to leave. It starts to really fade out. Sometimes it gets seriously staticky. Well, me, I got the Pella station. Boom, hit a button. I can change over. Bam, right there, more power. Everybody loves power, right? Amen? But see, that's what it's like in life, because every now and then, people, you and I get into a low spot in life. You know what I mean? We get discouraged. We get depressed. all the times that we need to hear from God. And due to that low spot, it makes it harder. And so we get in that spot, and then it feels like we lose signal. We still have the Holy Spirit inside of us. But due to the cluttered mind, you know what I mean? When you're discouraged or depressed, usually your mind's chasing after problems, right? A problem-thinking mind. You're usually thinking about everything that's going wrong in life. Poor, poor, pitiful me. You know, this is going wrong. That's going wrong. Da-da-da-da-da. All these things. And so we get on that, and what that does is that makes us go down in the pit a little bit further. So we need to really hear from God at these dangerous times, and sometimes what happens is that we have to ask a couple things. Are we in a place that we're too far away from God right now? I mean, that's a valid question. Have we gotten to a place that we've allowed all the clutter, all the things of this world to get into the way, and it's made us so we feel like we're far away from God? Or are we in a low spot right now? That seems like it's broken signal. Now, there's a way to fix that. Basically, all you got to do is, number one, get closer to God, or climb to a high spot. Once you get out of that hole, you can get the signal again, right? Once we get out of that hole in life. And we do that by prayer. We do that by staying connected with other believers. How many know we can preach each other happy every now and then? You know what I mean? You get into a group with other people, and then, you know, maybe you're going in there like you're all down and out, and then all of a sudden you get in there, and all of a sudden people start, you know, ministering to you, and all of a sudden, man, you're not down no more. Man, I'm up. I'm fired again. So we need to stay connected. We need to get into that role where we're with other people. Like I mentioned, you can put on some praise music. I mean, there's times we have most people stream stuff, you know. Most of your Roku apps or different things, they have a Christian radio station on there. Sometimes when I've mentioned before, when I sense my family, I mean, how many know the pastor gets attacked every now and then? If he can take me out, it affects a lot of different people, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I try to stay on guard. But, you know, I'll put that Christian radio station on and just let it play in the house. Just let it play. Not loud sometimes, but, you know, without going into this too much, you know, in the Old Testament especially, it talks about how music would chase the evil spirits away from King Saul, right? Well, by faith, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep them oppressive spirits away from my family. That's my job as the protector. You know what I mean? I'm the protector of the family as the man. And my wife, she can do it too, but I mean, I just take that job seriously for my role. And thank God I got a godly woman, and we're in agreement about that. So we do these things, and so we can try to keep that, because we don't want to go into that low spot. We want to come up to the place where we can get connection again, so get that higher ground. Because what happens, another thing, and this is what we're learning in the anxiety class a little bit I've been teaching on, is how distractions keep us from being able to focus on the things of God. There's a lot of distractions out there in life, things that break our focus. You know, I've always shared this before, I think. Maybe I used to ski a little bit when I lived in Denver, and wasn't very good at it, but I sure did like to go fast. I mean, I wasn't pretty, but boy, I could get from top to bottom really quick. You know, especially on the moguls, I'd like those, you know, bouncing around and everything. But me and my friend, we had a saying, if you don't get in fear, you won't fall. And there was a lot of truth to that. Because the only time you really crashed bad is when you got afraid. When you got afraid of what was coming the next thing down the road. You stop looking at where you could be, and you start to look at the problem, and then usually we'd have a crash. So if you stop focusing on the problem, you won't crash. So it's about perspective of what it is that we're looking at and not allowing those distractions. You know, maybe things ain't going good. Maybe you're under financial burden. Maybe you're under relationship burden, all these things. That's just part of life. Them things happen. Now, nobody's exempt from those sort of things. I mean, you can have the best marriage and still have a little bit of issues. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then. That is, if both people are actually living honestly. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking them, you know, maybe one of them's a doormat and let the other person have all they want, but that ain't very good. That's not a relationship. But if both people, two different personalities that are different from each other, you know, you're going to have that. You just got to work through them, you know, and not allow those distractions to come in. And, you know, we need to, as Christians, do not receive the spirit of the world because it's the spirit of confusion. Me, I have a pet peeve, is confusion. I don't like confusion. You know, I walk into a thing, if it's all chaos, man, my mind just, it just freaks me out a little bit. Just don't like it. I mean, everything don't have to be, I'm not Little House on the Prairie. I mean, like the kids we teach today are a little bit over the top, aren't they? You know, we all have them in different classes. And, you know, it's different. It's not Little House on the Prairie, is it? When you're teaching, where the kids just sit there like this and listen. No, it's not like that no more. Now, if I can handle some of the confusion, but not all of it. Finally, I was telling them, hey, kids, I can't handle it. You're all talking at once. I just can't hear. I want to hear what each of you have to say, so it just boggles my mind. Knock it off, you know? So that confusion, that's what the world wants to bring to us, and it gets us, you know, so we do it, mess up. So the spirit of the world will try to confuse us about the things that are freely given to us by God, is what it says in that passage, you know? And so what that does, If the spirit of the world can twist the things of God so that we don't get full effect of what they're trying to do, it's going to make us miss out. And here's a couple examples of what it does. You know, the spirit of God speaks grace to us while the spirit of the world speaks works, okay? One of the biggest problems, and the Galatian church had this, Paul preached the gospel to them, they had it right, then all of a sudden they just drifted back to chaos. They got saved by grace, but then they went back into works, and that's a dangerous thing for us to get into. When we have to measure our relationship with God by what we do, that sets us up to fail. And see, the spirit of the world will come and tell you, you're not doing enough. You're not reading enough. You're not praying enough. You're not singing enough. You're not da-da-da. And so then what that does, it takes us out of grace. Where grace is God's power, it's his divine favor, unmerited favor working in us. So the spirit of the world gets us to pull back from that. Then we get off into that area, and then we wonder why we're not growing. Well, we've lost our mind to Christ, and we've got the mind of the world, where we're comparing ourselves to other people. We can't compare to other people. Now look to other people for inspiration. Right? Surely you can think of somebody in this room that, wow, I'd like to be like that. That's okay. Because you know if they can do it, I can do it, right? Correct? You have to have that mentality. If they can pray out loud, I can pray out loud. If they can do this, I can do that. You know, we have to have that idea. But we don't look at them and compare ourselves to them and say, oh, I'm nothing compared to what they can do. No, that's the spirit of the world. Just knock that stuff out of your thinking. Also, the spirit of the world will keep us in a victim mentality rather than a victor mentality. You know, if we're walking through life always thinking we're the victim, well, then we're never going to win. Why? Because we've already been defeated. Now, I know that we go through stuff, a lot of attacks, but don't allow the spirit of the world to make you think like you're a victim. Because we start to live like a victim and then we're never going to walk in that freedom of the Spirit. I don't know why bad things happen to good people other than the fact I know there's a bad devil. Just a bad devil. And he don't like us. But that's okay. I don't care for him either. Right? But we're in good company. He don't like God either. Right? So things are going to happen. Just don't become a victim. And lastly, you know, the spirit of the world is going to try to get us to back down from our convictions. The things that we know that are true in our heart, it's going to try to make us shut our mouth and stay quiet and just let the world run its way over us. So that's what the spirit of the world's trying to do. It's trying to confuse us and hold us back. So we need to not fall victim and fall into that game that it plays. And to be honest, that's why we all need to be into God. We need to be into the things of God. We need to be praying, reading the Word. We need to stay connected. We need to try to build Christian relationships. Because it's good to have people to pray for you, right? You know, we used to have an old saying, if you write no letters, you get no letters, right? Now, this isn't totally true because I know the Holy Spirit will have people pray for us, but primarily, if we don't pray for anybody else, you know, then maybe somebody won't be praying for us. But the law of sowing and reaping, which is one of the most powerful laws in Scripture, we reap what we sow. So if we're sowing prayer to other people, it's only natural that by faith we should be reaping prayer in our life. Never turn down prayer, right? Who would turn down prayer? I mean, how many people, we've all probably done it, we've asked somebody, hey, can I pray for you? Nah, I'm okay. Well, that tells me you're not. You turn down prayer. I mean, that's free stuff. I mean, that's, you know, why? So, you know, we need to, you know, overcome these obstacles. So, to have the mind of Christ, we need to attend the school of the Spirit. We need to get into the school of the Spirit. Well, just like any school, there we have to get to the place where we acknowledge that there's a teacher, right? The Holy Spirit's there and He wants to lead us and guide us and to teach us things and reveal things to us, and that's what He wants to do. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And to me, and we're going to get to this a little more next week, is the fact that revelation trumps education every time. I know that bumps some people out. You know, some people like all the letters after their name. I was watching a reel the other day. I enjoy watching them. You get kind of some good recipes on there as well as some other information. But there's this guy, I'd never really heard of anybody. He must have been a big dog in some denomination. And he was a senior pastor. I mean, he was up in probably 75 years old plus. And here's this young whippersnapper minister asking him, if you could talk to a young minister, what would you tell them? And it just shocked me. He said, now I'm not, don't try this at home. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But he told him, don't waste your time on seminary, but go and mainly get into a church and start to be discipled that way and do an internship and start to learn practical things. And you know, the fact that that guy said that just kind of shocked me. I mean, I've never been to seminary. We used to call it cemetery when I was in Bible school. I mean, that was our joke, but anyway. They're smart, they're good, they write papers. I mean, I don't, you know, it just wasn't for me. You know, I went a different route. But you know what that guy said, it was just so important. Not to get so consumed with the letters after your name. Oh, I got a Master of Divinity, or I got all those doctorates and all these. They're all good. Some places you need them. But I'm just saying, if your faith is in that doctorate instead of God, you've missed it. You've missed it. Because education is important because we need good doctrine. But what we really need, the most important thing that you can really get out of life, is revelation from God. Is revelation from God. The only way that works, it has to be, to get revelation, it has to come from God. That's the only way it comes. And so that's why it's so important. You may not feel you're the smartest person in the room. Join the club. But I will say this, I can hear from God. I know I can. And I want you to know that too, that you too can hear from God, and that he wants to speak to you, and he wants a relationship with you, and he wants to bring you to a deeper place. But that only happens when we desire to have the mind of Christ and to go after him. I want the best for you. Amen? And we're going to get it together. Let's stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we honor you right now. Lord, we thank you for the stirring of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord, we know that what the Bible says about, you know, being born again and coming into the kingdom of God and how our body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, all those things come into play when we ask Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and Savior. I want to give an opportunity right now.